I pray that I speak to you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The story is told of the holy rabbi who went to the men's barbers to have a haircut. At the end, he went to pay, but the barber wouldn't accept his money. "No, rabbi," he said, "I never take money from the clergy." And the following morning, when the barber got to work, there on the steps of his shop was a bag of delicious, newly baked bagels. The following day, a Catholic priest went to have his hair cut. At the end, the barber wouldn't accept any money. "No, father," said the barber, "I never take any money from the clergy." And the following morning, there on the steps, the barber found a very large bottle of whiskey. The following day, an Anglican vicar went to have his hair cut. At the end, the barber refused his money. "No, Reverend, I never take money from the clergy." And the following morning, there on the steps, the barber found an enormous queue of Anglican vicars. Vicars in it for themselves, or Christians in it for themselves. The gospel we just heard would tell us that's an absolute travesty, that state of affairs, if you're going to follow this man from Nazareth. Just because you sit in a garage doesn't make you a car, and just because you sit in a church doesn't make you a Christian. In fact, says the tradition of our faith, we might need to stand up and get walking and journey with this man to rediscover something of our first love of him again. Christians always need to be reconverted. We always need more distillation. We heard in that gospel that Jesus is speaking about the kingdom in rather unforgiving terms as he prepared to turn his face, that is, make his way towards Jerusalem. And when he gets to Jerusalem eventually, he there embodies the kingdom that he's preaching about. We call that day Palm Sunday. It was a spring day around the year 30, and a biblical scholar who died just a couple of years ago, Marcus Borg, reminded us that on that spring day when Jesus eventually made it to Jerusalem, there were two processions entering Jerusalem at the beginning of that week of Passover, the most sacred week of the Jewish year. One was a peasant procession from the east, Jesus riding on a donkey down the Mount of Olives, cheered by his followers. He was from the peasant village of Nazareth. His message was about the kingdom, and his followers were peasant workers. They had journeyed to Jerusalem from Galilee, that's about 100 miles to the north, and that journey is the central dynamic to the first story we have about this man. But on the opposite side of the city, from the west, another procession was taking place, an imperial, not a peasant procession. Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor of Idumea, Judea, Samaria, had left the new and splendid city on the coast about 60 miles away, called Caesarea Maritima, or if you like, Caesarea on Sea. It was the home of the Roman governors, and he too arrived in Jerusalem, a more hostile place, as he headed a column of imperial cavalry and soldiers. Why? Because it was the standard practice for the Roman governor to be in Jerusalem for the major Jewish festivals, not out of sympathy, of course, but to be there in case there was trouble, any rioting. There often was, especially at Passover, a festival that celebrated the Jewish people's liberation from an earlier empire. So Pilate arrives to reinforce the Roman garrison that was stationed overlooking the Jewish temple and its courts, and you can picture his procession, the armor, the golden eagles, the dust and horses, and the onlookers, curious and afraid, and probably very resentful. Two processions, one peasant, one imperial. The imperial procession was a demonstration of the emperor's power. The emperor, Tiberius, was called the Son of God. And inscriptions we have found also refer to him as Lord and Savior and the one who had brought peace on earth. The peasant procession is not a demonstration of power, but is symbolic, redefining those words, Son of God, Lord, Savior. And using imagery from the Jewish Bible, here is the king who was to come on a donkey to banish war from the land and whose command will be peace. And Jesus's procession deliberately counters what was happening on the other side of the city. Pilate embodying power, glory, control, and violence of the empire that ruled the world, and Jesus embodying the alternative vision, this kingdom of God he preaches. The man from Nazareth had preached about this kingdom, but had rejected any crown. And this contrast between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Caesar is central not only to the earliest gospel we have of Mark, but to the story of Jesus and early Christianity. This confrontation between two kingdoms. And so later we find two bowls of water appear. One is washing Pilate's hands of all responsibility. The other is used to wash 12 pairs of dirty feet. One soldier, paid up to serve the Emperor Son of God, will see Jesus die and see that it was this man who truly was the Son of God. This is a different kingdom, the gospel tells us, not seen in cavalry, but at Calvary. A king who sacrifices himself, not others, to show his people how dear they are to him. And the question hovers, whose kingdom do you live in? Which kingdom offers truth or life or hope for this world? This clash of kingdoms asks you where your heart is, what is your true desire, and whose reign you think will bring you peace. And that question is as alive as ever.